New data coming out of Homelessness Australia has shown the gap for Indigenous Australians continues to widen, especially when it comes to the housing crisis. A range of factors contribute to the issue, with experts calling for substantial change. Homelessness Australia and the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Housing Association have joined up in releasing new data showing the impacts the housing crisis has on Indigenous Australians and the disparity from their non-Indigenous counterpart. Zach Matasek from the NATSI Housing Association says the number of Indigenous peoples dealing with homelessness continues to rise.
We know that First Nations people make up 31% of people in homeless families. You know, we know that the number of Indigenous Australians and families seeking help has risen 4% between the 21, 22 and 23, 24 financial years. You know, we know that more First Nations families are presenting already homeless when they ask for help, and that's, you know, an increase of 12% over the past 2 years. Even more concerning, obviously, is the 8% more are exiting services still without housing, those who present that are homeless. These facts and figures, unfortunately, is a reflection of the, you know, intergenerational disadvantage and cycle of disadvantage that permeates throughout our country today.
Mr. Matasek says the importance of recognising the errors in previous funding is essential to providing the best care.
You know, for us, we know that for decades, Aboriginal and Torres Strait people have lived through the cycle of disadvantage. It's not because of our cultures, our communities or our capability, but, you know, it's because of repeated government policy and program failures, you know, from the protection era through to the intervention, you know, from the stolen generation through to the stolen wages, followed by decades of poorly implemented policies tied to very restrictive programs and the inability to access resources, support and capital. We know that historically and currently funds allocated to Indigenous affairs, frankly, this isn't reaching our organisations and communities. So if we look at the last Indigenous expenditure report conducted by the Productivity Commission in 2017, it showed that the overall government expenditure on Indigenous affairs was estimated to be about $33.4 billion. However, only 18% of that was actually spent on Indigenous-specific programs and services, and the remaining 82% went towards Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander shares to mainstream government services and programs. So even when there is money on the table, the realities are is that money isn't actually going specifically for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations, programs and communities.
There are many programs providing support for those dealing with homelessness. However, Zach says there needs to be an emphasis on a First Nation-led program.
You know, we often talk solutions, and obviously we show up in good faith every single time we speak with all governments. You know, we know for some time we've needed a First Nations-led national housing and homelessness plan, you know, a national piece of legislation binding all nine governments to something longer term. But we also know that we need long-term funding and genuine ownership of that plan by community. And we know that there must be obviously greater investment into social and affordable housing. We know that there needs to be dedicated funding around specifically for Aboriginal and Torres Strait organisations, but more critically, those rounds designed with community to make sure that all of those restrictive policies and clauses that I spoke to earlier don't exist, and we're actually unlocking that capital that's going to allow us to actually invest in our organisations and into the things that we know work. You know, we've got long-term data and evidence that now prove the societal and economic benefits to Australia as a whole when our organisations are lead and resource appropriately. You know, we've got evidence to prove that investing in our leadership achieves far fewer crisis-driven costs to the overall economy. We know that it builds stronger and safer families and community. We know that it has greater participation in the Australian economy. So we know it's not just the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. And unfortunately, the term partnership often gets used, but, you know, being a good partner means knowing when to step back and allowing the person or organisation with the expertise to lead. And unfortunately, we just haven't seen that.
With housing being provided to those who need it, it creates consistency and stability for children and families.
So we know that housing is obviously the central point to everyone's life and the cornerstone to all the other determinants. You know, without a safe and supported and secure home, the data already proves people are not likely to manage their health properly. We know that children are most likely not going to be going to school. We know that, you know, there's children are going to have more interactions with the justice system. So we know that everything starts with a safe and secure home. And we also know that history shows, and currently all of the systems show that, and it's written in every report, the Productivity Commission's report, the Independent Review on Closing the Gap, they all show that we haven't seen that genuine shift of authority and resources from government to community control to really fix this problem.
An important aspect of dealing with the homelessness crisis and the widening gap for Indigenous Australians is dealing with discrimination, as CEO of Homelessness Australia, Kate Colvin, explains.
One of the issues is the housing crisis, which just keeps getting worse. We've got rents that just you know, go up and up and up, and really low vacancy rates. And how that particularly impacts Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families is that when we have really low vacancy rates, that means a really competitive rental market. So you've got sometimes 20, 30, even 50 families competing for a single property. And what we see time and again is that the property does tend to go to the sort of, you know, white professional couple rather than the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander family, even, you know, when they're in work, even with equivalent incomes, we do see that discrimination in the rental market.
By providing a First Nation-led response, Kate says it can create more opportunities for Indigenous Australians and allow for those in the community to more likely welcome the support.
The more tailored approach is really important because there's a number of things that might particularly impact Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families more than other families. So one example in particular is that we do see a pattern where with homeless children, where if it's an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander family that are homeless, you might see child protection more keen to be involved and even child removal in the circumstance where a family simply can't find housing. So instead of providing housing, the response is that you see children removed. And so that can then mean reluctance for First Nations families to actually engage with homeless services and, you know, be able to get the help they need to be rehoused.
That was CEO of Homelessness Australia, Kate Colvin.